like my first things first, rest in peace, Uncle Phil.
Yeah, that line is magical.
Bro,
I feel like it cemented J. Cole's
I think when it comes to iconic lines,
yeah,
it's up there.
Yeah, you can't forget
it's up there.
Like I saw a video one time where J. Cole plays basketball in Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
So they wanted to sub him in the DJ. Fit.
Have you seen that post I sent to you? Where the good news, nigga, you came the right way.
Yeah.
But the bad news, nigga.
Yeah. So you
said
it to me.
Okay, you said it on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
Where someone a homeless person comes to you to ask you for money or ask you for direction, like the good news, nigga, you came the right way.
The bad news. The shit to say that the better us, no such thing, the life that's better than you. God, see that song?
No such thing.
Life, love yours.
Love yours.
That song, I feel like it's the greatest J. Cole song on earth ever.
Nah, the song brings out this emotion in you.
It's the song that it will appeal to you when you're down and broke.
It will appeal to you
when you're rich and balling.
Exactly.
It will appeal to you when you're depressed and going through
it's just that sweet spot. It's just a sweet spot.
Love yours.
Love yours, basically. I think it's actually one of the best like words to live by.
I feel like if I eventually buy, like get the dream, right, all the plans we're having in life, I feel like that song is going to be a perfect anthem.
I love yours. Just love yours. Even if you're balling or not, just love
just
yours.
Love yours.
Stick
bro
to what you're doing. Like he said,
I understand what's better. Like priority, it's family. It's family.
Once the family good, you're good.
You're good for life,
trust
bro
me, like,
Once the family
is eating good,
that's
what you get. So yeah, welcome to the podcast, right? First things first, like we said,
rest in peace, Uncle Phil.
So yeah, that's what's up.
When I get my baby pregnant, I'll be a better you.
That's what's up. Let's just quickly jump into it. Today we're going to be talking about crazy things I experienced growing up, right? I've actually had this thought once. Okay, before I even go into it, like, right, I had this two different scenarios, right? I had this friend, not really a friend. Oh my, Arab helicopter. You guys hit me like crazy, bro.
Okay. I was like, bro, really?
No, it's cool. Okay, so I my junior secondary school days, right?
Yeah.
I had this whole prep hall type thing. You go to study hall, you read. This is my guy. Not really, I'm not really my guy per se, but it was like my senior colleague, rather. This guy, whenever you, it's actually that person that you hate to sit close to.
Why?
In your prep hall. Right? Why? Because, bruh, you don't get to make noise. You don't get to move. When he's reading, right, then you come and make noise or just like pause, like just try to distract him, bro, you're gone.
Friendship over.
He can beat with anything he sees, you get. And that's how serious he is about his studies, right?
Where like, is he now? He's
chill,
present.
Chill. The story is gone. Come on. Like I'm trying to set you all.
I'm listening.
Right?
I'm calm now.
Okay, cool.
Chill.
Cool. So that's not what we're talking about, like Obosi. This guy is actually a chill dude, aside from anywhere else but the study hall or the prep hall.
So when he means business, he means business.
I love him for that, right? I respect him for that. Now, fast forward to, because my school then had this whole CA type thing, like you had this whole quiz, exams and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I had this grading system.
I know what happened.
Fuck you. No.
I'm coming.
So what happened, right, was okay, so we had this whole grading system, right? Like we have like this whole grading system. First grade is I have like all A straight up. Like basically what I'm trying to say is like this, the condition, right? Like with school at like a high level, yeah, academically. You don't have that opportunity or that chance to like just mess up, right? Now, Obosi, my very good friend, peace out. So, dude, like at the end of the day, when it comes to exam, right, dude writes exam like crazy. He writes, When you really ask me after exam, like, what did you write? How far? Like, this question, sounds like correct. He tells you the answer, it's correct. Or even if he loses out, like,
just no, something like, yeah, something will make him fail.
He's not going to make him fail that question, right?
Yeah.
And then you have a situation where after exams,
you say score, I'm like, bro, what happened?
Score 0 over 60, 0 over 30. Like, ask yourself, like, what the fuck?
I feel like that's the height of these people.
No, chill. At first, that's actually what I thought, right? Okay. Like, bro, now, wow, these guys, really people are actually, like, working overtime on this. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Sometimes, you kind of, like, felt, sometimes you feel bad, sometimes you won't feel bad. A lot of people actually thought bad about it. Because, yeah, actually, very chill dude. Everybody saw he was working
hard. Put in the work.
Yeah. But he couldn't actually see the results, the fruits. Now, he left school, right? After he left, because the standards were high, he couldn't keep up. He left, right? Me too. I left after my 300, after my GS3, right? It wasn't until my first, second year in uni that actually I was just thinking about, okay, it just clicked, bruh. What if Obosi, my colleague or my senior then, right? What if he wasn't going, what if he wasn't his village people, right? What if man was actually going through a lot? He was suffering from dyslexia.
I wanted to say that.
And it got me thinking, right? Like, people go through a lot of shit. Young adults, even kids, go through a lot of mental situations that parents and Nigerian parents
don't realize these things exist.
You feel like,
it just reminds me of a movie I saw one time.
You get,
said Kevin Hart, I think Night School.
Yeah, Night School. Yeah.
So the lady that was Tiffany. Tiffany told Kevin, you are clinically dumb. So it's not his fault.
It's not his fault.
When he looks at clinically, numbers, the whole thing.
Exactly. So I was like, that's when he picked you up, bro. What if this is the case? And now you now imagine a situation where a lot of kids go through, not just this.
I mean, different things.
Different things, there. Right? And now brings the topic from the day, right? Nigerian parenting or African parenting generally. Like, how far? Like,
okay, let me chip in. I feel like problems like this cuts across just parenting. I think it has to do with the system of education across every part of the country. This is part of the world too. Because I feel like we've always had this growing up that the system of education in most part of the world is not adequate.
It's not.
You shouldn't be judging every child with the same standards.
Yeah.
Because there are different people have peculiar abilities.
Mikey, and I get what you're saying. And so I feel that's one part. That's one part. But
so the role of parents in the whole.
But then the role of parents in this case is that parents should be able to know, right, that
I am for and against the parents. Let me tell you why.
Yeah.
I'm for the parents because sometimes they can't know. Let me explain to you what I mean by they can't know. My mom and my dad, my parents went to school.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but their parents didn't. So most things their parents know,
yeah,
or knew about school was what their kids told them.
Yeah.
And if you understand what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying.
So the level of the amount of resources or information they had was limited to what their kids learned from school or what they learned or what they hear over in, you know, basic conversations in the village.
I get what you're saying.
So most times, some parents or some backgrounds don't give parents the liberty to know certain things.
Access to information.
Because most parents live their dream through their children.
True. That's virtually every parent.
Because every parent at some point has
a particular goes dream.
To get to a point where they have to pause their life.
Exactly.
To groom a child.
True.
Then they try to live their dream through you.
Yeah.
And why sometimes no matter how far you go, you're still indebted to your parents because you know that lot of sacrifice they had to make. Eventually, right, growing up, you realize people had to pause their life, people had to readjust their life,
accommodate you.
So when I say I'm for the parents, it's sometimes circumstances they don't have the resources to know.
Definitely.
They don't have the information to know. And they don't see the need. They don't know that there's a need for them to find out. That's what I understand what I'm saying.
And at this point, now wait till
They don't have the resources to know.
And I feel that's for them.
Then right? against them because despite the situation, it's your job.
It's your job to find out.
But I was talking to my friend one time. He said, "We saw a clip with my friend. He saw a clip on I think TikTok where a child did some certain things. Then I think aeroplane.
Yeah.
So the thing flew. A little child in the village. Yeah. Then he said something. He said if this was a developed country, they'll pick this boy up and train him.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
So I told him, no. I don't think it's the government's job to pick you up.
No, it's the parents' job.
I think it's the parents' job to do something about the ability of noticing their child because nobody, the government will be going home.
Government doesn't find out. Exactly.
What's happening with your child.
Exactly. Bro.
So, and I told him, make an example of my parents, for example. My mom, for example, noticed that my other brother had this thing for electrical appliances.
Yeah.
So when he got to JS1, as the first day of junior secondary school, she sent him to one of our church members that does all this electrical stuff.
Yeah.
Now
to
learn certain things from him. Now my brother is an electric engineer. He does wonders with electrical appliances. What I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I get what you're
and he's still growing towards it because the parents understood, okay, my child is tilting towards direction. Let me groom him. Let me find out. That's one. So in health-wise, too, when you understand that there's a level of disabilities that you notice in your child, your child's not performing like it's made. He's not doing certain things the way other children should.
Yeah.
It's your duty as a parent to go extra mile to find out, okay, yeah, what's going wrong.
Because funny thing, do you know that there are some kids that are schizophrenic?
Yeah.
And they call it amusu. They call it like witchcraft. Yes. Some kids have ADHD. They call it stubborn kids. You get some kids go through like okay. Some kids have a bipolar.
Mommy water.
You understand? And I feel like these things. Okay. Funny thing. Okay, let's say for now. I'm just using actual experience, right? Where from the ends where I grew.
Hey,
gang banging is what? Suicide too, but
yeah, I think we're missing time.
No, wait, chill, wait, chill.
I'm banging one, chill. Suicide too.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna tell me what I do, what I do,
bro.
You know,
bro, calm down. I know, I just reminded you something, bro. So, in my ends, like where I grew up, right? Now, this lady, I'm going to use two examples.
I'm listening.
Now, the first person, right? The first lady, she gave birth to two ladies actually gave birth to autistic kids, right? from where I
the ends where you grew
yeah ends where I grew up right like had these two like first for the first lady she gave like she gave it to an autistic kid right two people two people that she gave up to give it to autistic kids right one took care of the autistic kid like what I mean took care like showered love I feel like everything can be trained.
Yeah.
Autism can be trained depending on how far even no matter how far in the spectrum you are right it can be trained to shift come a little bit further in you get it. Now the first kid right like that's let's say kid A and kid B right kid A
was
the parents took care of the kid I mean took care it was like yes the kid repeated school like how many times you're doing your best, just keep doing what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
Now, fast forward to like let's say 10, 15, 20 years later, right? The kid now he still know he's autistic,
yeah,
but he can actually communicate now.
Yeah, he can exist in society and so
he can exist on society, exactly the point. Now, whereas kid B, parents kept on giving birth.
Neglected him completely.
We watched child just drift away. There's nothing you can do for the kid now.
Yeah, because it's too late.
This is actually what got me thinking about this whole parental role type thing, right? Now the mom is ignorant, in the sense that
At that point, I don't think it's justifiable.
Ignorance is justifiable.
Situation.
Exactly.
Listen, what points where I'm for parents is, you know that there's some traits in kids that you might not notice.
Yeah, you might not notice, yes.
Like dyslexia. Not everybody would notice dyslexia.
Not everybody notices it.
Autism It's very, yeah. You can get to notice it from a particular age.
Yes.
The person acting different, the way you react to certain things.
Yeah.
It's very different. With dyslexia, it's like, it's completely different. You act normal, you interact normal. When you speak normally.
You speak normally.
When it comes to certain things, you just don't understand it.
Yeah. You just don't cope, yeah.
It doesn't just make sense anymore.
I get what you're saying.
So, points like that now, parents are ignorant. They don't understand that this is clinical, this is congenital.
Exactly, because the problem now is that parents feel like if my child is not malaria, typhoid, this, he doesn't need to go to the hospital.
Yeah. If I can't see the symptoms.
If I can't see the symptoms, exactly.
See him manifest.
You understand.
I'm like,
why? Why would you think like that? Parenting is difficult. Parenting is hard. Learning is hard.
It's a lifetime job.
But that notwithstanding, parents should give their all. I'm just saying this because I feel like I feel like looking around, seeing like a new crop of parents coming up.
Yeah, we are.
You get.
In a few years' time, we're going to be parents.
In years' time, obviously true. And we have millennial parents now.
Yeah.
You get. At least millennial parents. Our parents are not millennials.
No, they're not.
You get. But we have millennial parents right now. And I feel like they now have access to information. But you still notice, you still ask yourself that question.
Oh, they're still neglected.
Exactly. You still ask yourself that question now. What more can be done for parents to understand and see? Like, your kids are going through a lot. Because mental health issues are actually very, very prevalent in society. If you check, if you do a survey, you notice that a lot of kids are going through this whole shit. Yes, probably by the time they grow up, society, everything just checks in by the end of the day. But still, like, what? Because another thing I was actually checking
about. Broken kid running around God's earth. I wrote something one time that about mental health.
Yeah.
There are tons of broken people running around this earth.
Trust me.
All dressed up and looking nice and trying to cover it up.
Trust me.
This Igbo adage, and I watch you, George. It means people cover up
a lot of things.
A lot of things underneath clothes, cover up with clothes and stuff. So basically, which is true, not just kids. Some of our parents are going through shit.
Going through a lot.
So sometimes, yeah, I try to put myself in my parents' shoes to understand, okay, yeah. They have some of them have their kids' best interest at heart.
No matter how cynical it might sound.
No, some parents just hate kids.
But like, then why would I have not go and have kids?
No, I've seen parents that just dislike their child. Sometimes it's clinical.
Like, what the fuck?
Actually, there's a particular case where a mother gives birth to a child.
And I think it's postpartum. That's postpartum depression, I think.
That's what they call it.
Yeah, it's postpartum depression. When you hate yourself, hit the kid. Why? Because, well,
you can't even breastfeed the kid. You can't hold the kid. Because
you feel like this is it happens. Depression, like, do it. See,
and sometimes if it's not worth taking care of, it can last for a while.
It goes a long way. It lasts for close, like, call it 6-7 months.
I'm telling you, it can last more than that if it's not worth taking care of. Just get out of here.
That's messed
up. Like, just leave me. And the child did nothing to you.
And now the child grows up. Like, the child grows up. Like,
daddy issues.
These are hard topics. You don't have to make light of this issue. But I didn't like see the kids. Kids now keep on asking themselves, like, what did they do wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, probably.
You didn't ask for you to bring me to this world. When you brought me here, why do you hate me?
You should get, like, what did I do to deserve this hate? And it's crazy. I get that. Like what you talked about. Like, just fuck your feelings. Just get shit done.
So what I'm trying to say earlier is sometimes I try to put myself in parents' shoes because most of them have the best interest at heart. But circumstantially, they can do little about certain situations, and the fact that this is the length they can go to, this is the height of their abilities, because most parents have more than one child.
Yeah,
and no matter how special one of your children or one of your child might be,
they are different.
Yes, they have different tactics to train different children. And you still need to balance.
You have to
balance the whole thing.
Because if you don't, you end up loving one person and leaving the other person.
Yeah,
a lot of things.
I feel like it's not an easy job.
I've seen.
Do you know why I can relate to it? Is you've been in a circle of friends where you became like
you're trying your best, like, balance out everything. It's very exhausting.
form with your friends, all of you know each other. But among the four group of friends, there's one person you talk to better.
Exactly, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. But when you guys come out, you try to balance it. It's not easy.
It's not easy. Because you guys actually end up having more things to talk about. But you don't want to like leave those two
other people. Let them hang. You get like, that's how it is in life. Imagine doing that every day. Every day of your life till your children leaves your house. Till the day you die. From the point of birth, they have three kids.
Yeah.
You keep doing that. You make conscious effort not to hurt any of your children's feelings. You give to this person, you do this, you love them equally, which you know is very difficult to do.
It's not possible. It's not possible. Forget
it. Yeah, my parents say we do love equally. We know that
everyone has a favorite.
So basically, you try to balance up
the whole thing. Everything, sure.
And it's not always easy.
Sometimes
I just give them benefit of
that. Okay, now. Here comes my question, right? Now, to what point does it get that you can say, bruh, this child, nani? You get like, you know, what's my point? Like, basically, like, this child just like, feel like, it's just going. I just want to, like,
the posterity, left feet, take his place.
No, okay, better, like, let's say, like, the kid at the end of the day just becomes Nigerian society. To get, because when these things happen, you blame parents. Parents didn't train the child.
I don't think
parents, you know, you get, no, chill, you get, like, you say,
I feel like you're people that are born into this world and they're destined to
just be Nigerians.
Be
Nigerians.
But I feel like, okay,
it is
what it is. But I feel like society finds a way to balance itself, because if there is no armed robber,
there won't be
police, a doesn't have much to do. If there is no
I think you are trying to look at this.
My point is, I feel like you shouldn't. That's a very weird analogy. I feel like I didn't make it the right analogy. Exactly. But my point is this, Point is, society has a way to balance itself out.
True.
So people are born, and from birth, you see that around them, circumstances surrounding them has programmed them to end up this particular way.
Yeah.
Parenting or not. Because most times, no matter how much you parent a child that wants to
just want to go out
shopping, is going to be useless.
Definitely.
Once they leave the four corners of your house under your umbrella,
your tutelage,
and they go on their own, they get exposed to different things.
Exactly.
So at that point, you're not there to tell them, don't do this, don't do that. They have the will on. They have their own will, just like Adam and Eve did.
Yeah,
and Eve fucked up, but Adam didn't. Adam eventually joined Eve.
Okay.
That's my point.
I feel you.
So that's what I'm trying to say. So eventually,
basically, what you're saying is that
let's say a family of five.
Mikey, that begs the question.
A family of five, for example, four kids turned out great, doing marvelous things, as pilots, and there's one that decided, okay, I'm going to rob everybody. To be kidnapped or something like that.
At this point, you won't blame the parents now.
It's not the parents' fault.
Definitely.
That guy could
you can also argue for the guy too. Because probably like you said, their parents have favorites.
There are two sides to every story though.
They're definitely, bro. She's just reminding me of Dave up until now.
Someone said everything is justifiable.
Everything is justifiable.
Every fucking thing on earth
is justifiable,
no matter how gruesome you think,
no matter how messed up you think it is, that's why lawyers have their jobs. That's why lawyers still have their jobs.
I'm telling you. So basically, from every angle you try to look at it,
but it gets to a point where you can actually just see all circumstances, like categorically say, yes, the parents didn't do a good job with this person.
Okay. Yeah.
And as I'm saying,
at a particular point,
and as I'm saying, when it gets to that point now,
yeah, you give them that, call them to play.
Like, and there are other points where the parents have done their best, they've done everything they can. So my question now is, when it gets to that point, do you still at some point apportion? Because obviously, at some point, it gets.
I see where you're coming from. I feel like when it gets to that particular point, I think it's every person has a fair share of blame.
My question now is that when a child now decides to go astray, become a Nigerian society, right?
Yeah.
Who gets the bigger blame?
The child. But I've seen children that have weird parents and they turn out great.
Right?
Because you still decide to. Yeah, your life is yours. Whatever you decide to do with it,
but then again, she still has that saying, different strokes for different folks.
Let's say
probably he or she that turned out messed up needed more parenting than
And I don't think there's a win in this battle.
I don't think there's a win.
I feel like everybody has this thing. Have you heard this poem, Invictus?
Invictus?
The poem Mandela recited when he was in jail for 7 years.
I think
he said, the last line I remember, the last line says, under the bludgeoning of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed.
Okay.
Beyond this place of rot and tears, looms but the horrors of the fate. Yet, the menace of this of the years finds as I find me unafraid. Then, at the end, he said, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
Yeah,
that's what I want to make reference to. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. So when whatever happens to you growing up, what happens to you in life, eventually, you are the master of your own fate. You are the captain of your soul.
Shit happens.
So no matter your upbringing.
Yeah.
The people that were born in crack houses.
And they still don't have.
Grew up around drugs. Still didn't turn out to be addicts. And some people that grew up in rich homes, Christian homes. And then, ended up on the streets. Yeah. Begging for change. Ready to give you a big blowjob just to get money to buy crack.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's messed up.
It's crazy.
So bottom line is, you are the master of your fate, you are the captain of your soul. Whatever happens to your life, it boils down to you. So parents at that point, depending on your age, your parents at that point has less blame if you are above 20. If you are below 18, 20, and your life is messed up,
but you and
your parents
I know,
has a higher blame.
But you and I know that everything like what's it called? Little jobs, like you say, little jobs. So my point being, For he or she to get to that level of decadence. Oh God. Lord. for him to get to that level, right? Of like rot or whatever. Because whatever you say, right? It did like it took baby steps before it got to that level.
True.
Which we all know, like you said, can still be curtailed by the parents if they did the necessary.
No, that's what I think. You're not understanding my point.
I've seen
a child, that was curtailed all the way to university, uni, and left home.
Yeah.
Was trained. Whenever I do something wrong, they correct him with love and everything. He learned the good thing from home. He learned morals from home.
Yeah, and then you're true.
But eventually, he went to school. He met tons of like messed up gay dudes from school. Yeah. And introduced him to Molly, crack, coke. Like, hey, fuck it. And he tried it. And now he's addicted. He can't get out of it. Anyway, that's my point. He thought his parents' fault because his parents did everything they could. Wow. The same thing. Hey, this is bad. This is bad for you. The same thing they told child A, they told child B. But child B went out and found out, okay, this is actually happening in the world. My parents told me that this is bad and I don't want to try it. Even if I tried it, let me stop at some point.
Yeah.
But child A felt like, fuck it, let me just do it. Let's carry on.
Okay.
So at that point, it's not the parents' fault. It's like blaming God for Eve. Blaming God because Eve ate the apple.
That's crazy. That's messed up.
That's exactly how it is. Because God told Adam and Eve, hey, don't eat this.
Yeah.
It will cause this. This is what you're going to lead to.
Yeah.
Even if you not paint it the way it's supposed to be. But he painted it in a way just to let you know that it's bad.
Like action.
This is a consequence.
Repercussions.
Yeah. Exactly. So, but if that, okay, at some point, I'm like a man of my... I'm a woman of my own.
Yeah.
I'm independent.
I'm a boss ass bitch.
Exactly. So she spoke to the snake. The snake told her, hey, do this. It's going to turn out this way.
She speaks to the snake.
The snake spoke to her.
Okay.
Get the point of
trying to make.
So at that point now, it's not God's fault that Eve messed up. It's not the parents' fault that you, at a grown age, decided to choose a particular lifestyle.
Right.
Disregard everything I've taught you from a childhood. That doesn't mean every parent did the right thing.
True.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not vindicating every parent.
Yeah.
But some parents that are putting the effort, they've done what they should.
They've done what they should.
But some kids just turn out the way they could. They want to.
Okay.
I have
kids are messed up.
I have a friend. Was he my friend? But I knew him.
Yeah, an acquaintance, rather.
Yeah. His dad is a pastor in my church. So the dad had lots of kids, but he's the last child.
Yeah.
His elder siblings turned out great, but he chose to go the wrong route. He became one of these bad guys in the street. Eventually, got himself killed.
What the fuck?
So, but nobody faults his parents, because growing up, we could see the effort parents were putting in just to make sure the boy didn't turn out this way.
I feel like at the end of the day, right? Like, once
you're the master of your faith,
but once people see, like I told you about the story of that, my friend, right?
Yeah.
Once people see that effort being put in, right? They can now comfortably say, okay, he's tried.
So basically, that's what I'm trying to say. So at that point, I don't think parents should get the entire blame.
So that's like, what I'm saying is,
you get to a particular age where the blame leaves the hands of the parents. It's not left on you. You control your life. Get your shit together.
Yeah, definitely. You have to get your shit together. Now that brings me to the question now, right? Do you think the system, the African parenting system, you think it's
effective?
It's effective, yeah.
At some point it is, yes.
Right, because
what do you mean? Give me an example for.
Because I feel like
you're making reference to discipline.
Generally, love the way they show affection.
Sometimes yeah. Some part of it is messed up. Some part is actually effective. For example, I don't think I've seen my parents kiss.
I don't think
I've ever seen my parents like say, "Hey, I love you."
I did not ask a question. I asked yourself the question. How did that come into existence?
I'm like, what? I wonder, how then do you show your wife that you love her, but you cannot walk up to them like, "Hey, babe, I love you." Like, ick me out. I know it's not going to be a very pleasant sight, but it shows me that romantic shit still exists.
Okay, it's true. But when it comes to romance in Africa and African, like African homes, I don't think it exists.
Just have sex and give it to child for me, and I'll bring money for food, and that's just it.
Wow.
We'll just live together. We'll become roommates and talk.
Wow,
we know we care about each other. We know we're committed to this.
Yeah, we like.
We know we're not going to break up. We're not divorcing anybody, but inshallah.
Exactly.
You get the point.
Yeah. I feel like that particular scenario now makes it like easier whenever African parents or African families have issues to actually go their separate ways. You get for the fact that they haven't really shown themselves. Because it gets to a point, like it gets to a point where it's like, does this person actually really love me? Is that not true? Does this person really care about me? Or like, oh, is he just like, I'm just my housemate, stuff like that. Yeah. But that notwithstanding, that's for love and affection, right?
Not love and affection. Yeah. For discipline part, I think it's very effective.
No, discipline, I think it's actually one of the best bits. Yeah, we hated it. Like,
but it's effective.
But when you look around and see what people like Western communities are doing.
How the mass shooting and shit. I'm like, bro.
Because one thing, like, for them to be, this whole mass shooting type thing, I feel like, bro, like, nah, that's just messed up, bro.
It's messed up, bro.
It's messed up.
It's really because
it's parents that train that kind of child.
And it's those.
she's going from your home.
I'm about to sound very racist, but it's those white folks that don't do weird shit. And I feel like when you mess up at home and your grandma, for example, 50,
like,
for example,
whoops your ass or something like
jumps on you and knocks your teeth out. Like, make sure that you understand that.
And when you try touching her, they call family meeting for you.
Exactly. You need to disrespect.
That means you just have like just have to sit there, take the busy like a man,
and own your shit.
Own your shit, right?
And turn a new leaf.
Definitely, because if you don't, they still whoop your ass.
Because then the Bible.
I like about the whole like parenting type thing, you know, African parenting, whole community parenting type thing.
Yeah, only one person can raise a child.
Like in the sense that let's say for example, you and I just caught messing around in the streets, right?
Someone sees you.
Auntie BC sees you,
it will mess you up.
Messes me up, carries me home, takes me to my mom.
Your mom messes you up.
My mom thanks Auntie BC and then messes me up like. I wonder if the one the BC gave me is enough now.
No,
you understand?
You have to make sure you understand.
Because at that point in time, like, you have to get your shit right, because the eyes are watching you.
But then it's a weird kind of parenting that it sears on your mind that the perfect way you respond to correction is violence. It's healthy, sometimes it's not healthy. If you do it too much, I mean. If you do me too much, it becomes healthy. Children just get hardened. Oh, the worst thing you could do is just hit me and beat me and slap me.
Exactly, bro.
Eventually, people get hardened.
But then, because there was this my mom and dad, like, you went back then. Like, at some point, though, they take away your toys.
Yeah, or punish you instead of beating you up.
Instead of beating you, understand?
Yeah,
they take away something that is very precious to you and makes you feel like, what the fuck? I think I have to get my shit together.
Exactly.
Yes, that. And they tell them this is the reason why I'm doing this.
The bottom line is for you to see reasons, for you to see what you did wrong.
But, as childish as we are, as we were rather,
we
couldn't really see reasons then.
Yeah, at some point, but eventually you did.
Eventually, I think as I started growing,
we're groomed with fear,
bro.
Because
you knew that. Like, if anything, let's say, for example, you actually know that, okay, Auntie BC is your mom's, is on your mom's side, right?
Yeah.
You think you're actually looking out for Auntie BC, you're crying, doing your shit. Uncle at this side, you understand?
Not ready.
I'm like, bro. Uncle Ade, I hope it's like, okay, it's just these two people now. You see,
the whole community is parenting you.
I feel like
that. I remember at some point my younger brother was trying to just move man,
right?
More bit at her workplace.
Yeah.
And she has spies all over the compound.
Every
time you do something messed up, someone will call her.
Tell her straight up.
Like, hey, your child just did this.
And when she gets home, she'll tell you.
She'll tell you, hey, you did this by some sort of time. This sounds so time. Does she have mystical power?
She has. She actually has. And that's called.
And she'll mess you up.
And that's called power friendship.
And that's mystical power to shit.
It's something
like snitching. You have snitches around. Bro.
I feel like we don't get to see it often these days. You get when it comes to parenting, because you see, everybody's just trying to mind their business.
Yeah.
Because if you put hand, you collect. You don't know. I feel
the reason is. The new parents don't want someone else to get involved in their business. Because I feel like every family has different levels of morality.
Right.
Something you feel is wrong. Some things I felt my parents think is wrong. To me, I'm okay with it.
Okay.
You get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
And then when my child does that and someone else beats my child for something I'm okay with, I feel like, hey, don't put your mind in my business. And if that continues, like, I feel like that has happened a few times.
Just once or twice. But
the new parents now feel like, okay, let me just handle my child. Don't put your mouth in my business. If we know you want to do something to my child, let me know first.
Who has time?
I feel like that's a new system. So most of the people are like, okay, let me just leave you and your child. Whatever the child does, it's your business. Just handle it.
And if you notice, that actually one brings your problem, like this whole rotten crop of like the new breed, the new youngster that you have like zero respect.
Messed up characters.
You get like, if you want to beat someone, like, what the fuck? And don't touch him.
Exactly.
You understand? Like, why?
Back in the days, if you do mess up and run back home, They'll beat you
and just like whoop your ass and they tell the person, they're like, Ongo, come and sit down. You understand? Like, yo.
Let's mess him up. We're in this together.
It's crazy. Like, and now I feel like at the end of the day, because when you look at parenting now, parenting is taking a different tone.
Yeah.
You get. Because obviously you have to get with the times, right? But I feel like if you can still find a way to like balance it out. Balance the fact that we are not spoiling, we are not sparing the road and spoiling the child, rather, right? But we are spoiling, But you get what I mean.
I don't get what you're saying. Come again.
Okay, so I feel like we have to understand, find that balance.
We're not sparing the road and spoiling the child, rather, exactly. Doing well.
But like doing the opposite, right? We're making sure that we are like. Punishing the child, making sure you're instilling values. Yeah. I find when you talk about values, I feel like you can't give what you don't have.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to first of all make sure that you yourself you are grounded in your values. Your parents.
Moral standards
are there. Not when, let's say for example, you stay out late at night. Because kids learn by saying.
True.
You get. Now let's say
my mom take my wife for dinner once in a while.
Look, bro, come on now.
No, I know what you're saying.
You get my point now. Let's say, for example, now, you hang out late, you drink, you do this. I'm not saying these things are bad, but these are things like, you don't have to expose them to these things early on, right? They have to, like, because I can't remember, like, the first time actually I was like, I've not actually gotten to the age of sitting with men when they are drinking. You get?
Yeah.
You have, it's like, I think it's a passage, right? Once you get there, like, and these things make. It makes you feel like, okay, I've unlocked a new level in life. You get it, gamifies the whole experience, and it's making sense, bro. Yeah. So for me now, like, there's some things I have, like, but once you get your moral compass set, right? Then just from there, try
to instill some levels of value.
Try to copy all these things in your kid. right? Because I was talking to my mom the other day. I was like, trying to tell her, the way she raised my sister and me, my big sister, it's entirely different.
Yeah.
You get? Now, and that's crazy. Because these days, African parents now, they do this thing a lot. Where, let's say, for them, they become very strict with the first child.
Yeah, the first two children.
The first two or three children, right? They're very strict.
Eventually, the
but standards starts to drop.
When it gets to the last one.
When it gets to the last
one. Like, just get tired.
And they'll be like, okay, the first and second or third, the first, you now train. The last, you get. Which is all cool. But they forget something, right?
I think,
they forget something. And which is, before, for the first child, like now train the last person, right? Last child. He or she is assimilating all that values from different places.
Yeah.
You get. So, you might end up
not impacting.
You get not what impacting. You're not impacting exactly what you taught them.
Yeah.
So, at the end of the day, you might say, this child has spoiled you. The parents didn't do well.
Let me say something to you. Yeah. I think it's easier.
Right.
That system. Let me explain why. Because if your child has four elder siblings,
okay.
You most times copy what they do.
Definitely.
Everything surrounding your social life, your whatever life is based on what you see your siblings do.
Yeah, true.
You become a copy machine.
True.
If your brother dresses like this, you feel like this guy is cool.
Yeah.
Then you might have a cool sibling, have a business sibling, you might have social sibling.
Yeah.
So whatever you see, you feel like, okay, this cool dressing fashion sibling is doing this. Is the cool trend. Let me do it.
Yeah.
And then the work is done for the parents because you have four set of examples that the person is looking up to.
Exactly.
And the reason why I don't have issues with you impacting more than I taught you is because I trust you to bring in good things from where you're going to. Because I know what I taught you is just limited. Because I know just little compared to what society has to offer.
Cool.
And when you go out there, you get to experience new things and pick up new values.
I get what you're saying.
But
right?
Still,
because it's a dicey game.
Yes, it's a dicey sometimes game. Sometimes it turns out well. Sometimes it's good.
The chances are like it's a 50-50 chance. Because okay, like you really recently talked about like that some parents actually did do well instilling those values, right?
Yeah.
And you step out, you go out, and you bring about like you now start learning different sets of values that like. Directly opposite to what you've been taught. Probably, right? They might first of all look like, okay, it's passable, right? It's passable. Because, or better yet, he or she, the first person can actually be like doing it based on say, okay, I'm an adult.
Yeah.
I know when to stop, I know when not to stop.
Okay, yeah, that's another angle.
Yeah, but then the kids, they don't really understand that.
Now there's some levels, there are limitations.
There are limitations to this whole type of shit. This type of behavior, right?
Yeah.
You get, so I feel like, I just don't know, like, at the end of the day, like, parenting is just, it's constant, right? And just talk to your parents, feel them and understand, like, okay, see what's the levels they understood, like what's like, try to understand where they're coming from when it comes to parenting, right? You get,
yeah.
And from there, just like build on that though. That, I think that's it for me though. I don't know, but once I want to even chip, like, for me particularly, is that I really hated the fact that our parents had these like different sets of like where they hid their kids from.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hated that.
And I said, like,
I hated that.
They will turn to you. You know that there are tools to mess me up around this house.
I swear.
But I can't find them to get rid of them.
You got to a point where we actually found out.
You have PTSD.
PTSD. He said something. We actually found like where my mom kept her keys, right? And what we did there, once we are sure we've committed,
you meant something. Yeah, you can't take it out.
Go and take it out and break it.
Mom or hide it somewhere else.
My mom was like, "She is 10 naira. I'll keep on buying."
My mom had six different locations.
Right.
So then you find out, okay, when you mess up one, I had other ones. But then she arranged according to her size. My brother is 2 years older than me.
Yeah.
I'm like 3 years older than the one following me. Okay. So that's how we just separated ourselves. So she ordered the canes. Like, okay, this guy has this bigger one according to your size.
Yeah.
They're like double. Each person has different locations in the house.
Right.
So when it comes up, when they put their hand, they get your size and they'll
True,
it will
mess you up, bro. Nah.
But basically, I think.
But there's another trend that they did, like, go and get the king of your science. That I was like, what the fuck? Which guy? But I hated that concept. Why would I have to go and get this king that I'm going to use to flog me? Like, why?
I think it's just techniques to make you feel scared, like to add fear to the whole theatrics, being dramatic.
Yeah, and they mess with your psyche. Like,
parents
are evil. Okay,
parents. I feel like somehow it paid off.
No, it paid. We are the way we are right now.
Because our parents did their job.
Exactly.
And we took the right things from them. Because not everything they taught me that I'm holding on to at this point. But I know the foundation of my lifestyle is based on what
it's based on what. And that's why, like, I had to put, like, I'm not saying I'm a good person, right? I'm not saying I'm the best of the best. I'm not saying I'm the worst of the worst, right?
No.
But like you said, like this set of values, right? I've not like gone out straight.
Yeah, it's been on the foundation that was laid.
Cause, bro, the opportunities for me to go out straight, I won't lie.
A lot of them.
Like, there were a lot of them. They were bountiful.
Bro. A lot of them, bro.
A lot of them. People wanted me to smoke. People wanted like to do drugs and stuff like that. But I was like, join. But that caught my life. Yeah, it's actually a story for another day, bro.
Eventually, we'll talk about how the pressure.
The pressure was too much.
Convinces you to do shitty things. Eventually, when you turn back, like, look back.
How didn't I even budge? Because I'm like,
one.
The pressure was too much,
bro. Bro, it's a subject for different day. Thanks a lot for listening to us.
Thank you guys for listening. Yeah, just hang out. Like, first of all, like, if you have any method your parents used to, like, mess you up back in the day, just feel free to share. Feel free to just tell us, like,
your funny experience.
Bro, if they whooped your ass and you cried and said you want to carry your bag.
I wanted to leave the house.
Just.
But I knew at the point I was packing my bag, I'm leaving.
Bro, I packed my bag. I packed my bag every time, bro.
These people can't see my parents. They hate me.
Exactly.
But now growing up, I realized that, these guys love me so much. Exactly. But eventually, so tell us your stories. Let's share with us.
Just share with us what your experience was growing up. If your parents whooped your ass or if they didn't.
Sorry
in advance, they actually moved your ass. But that's it for this episode, right? Like, I think, Mikey, do you have any plans for next week? Or like,
we'll have a lot to talk about next week, so we'll just stay tuned. But we don't have scripts though, but we still experience this in life, might bump onto some certain things and like, hey, let's talk about this because it's actually interesting.
It's phenomenal. Lots
of things happen in this world. Another thing I feel like we should talk about maybe next week sometimes is the whole change happening in the financial system in the world. People don't realize something's going on.
Things crazy.
Like, I feel like the next 5 years, the dollar will be dethroned. It's happening. People are moving from dollar to gold. Continents are coming to form their own currency.
A lot of things are happening. And
it's happening slowly. So it's like a silent battle happening, like financial battle going on. People don't realize that. It's a paradigm shift that's going on right now.
Chill, go and buy the Doge. That's basically what I'm going to say. Buy the dip.
We have a lot to talk about eventually. We have smart things to talk about, goofy things to talk about.
And we do the best in our scripted,
That's just the best thing.
Basically. So, stay tuned. Peace out.
We are unscripted adults. We love talking to you guys.
I already said peace out. What's the problem?
Fight me.
Fuck you, brother.